I'm so glad you could give us a few minutes here. I have to say, you've got quite a few fans over here that were wondering after American Test Kitchen what was going to be happening with you next. And when I started reading about Milk Street Kitchen, this is amazing. I thought you were, you know, doing a magazine. It's so much more than that.
Oh, yeah. See, we have a radio show launching, a TV show launching, a cooking school launching, a magazine launching, live events launching, cookbooks launching, and web business launching, and a couple other things. Yeah. If someone asked me, looks like a somewhat aggressive launch schedule, and I said, well, yeah, but... Why stretch it out over 3 or 4 years? Why not just do it all at once? So that's what we're doing.
Well, it sounds like it's going to keep you kind of busy here. Now, Milk Street Kitchen is actually going to be in one building. Is it all going to be in the Flour and Grain Exchange in Boston?
Yeah, it has 8,000 square feet, about half of it kitchen. We can accommodate 50 or 60 people in there for special sessions. We'll be filming our TV show there, and some parts of the show will be in front of a live audience.
What was the concept behind Milk Street Kitchen when you walked away from the other opportunities and you decided to take on such an incredible amount of work? Where did you start thinking about this?
Or put another way, what were you thinking?
Okay, even better.
What were you thinking? Well, the old Vermont saying, be useful. You know, I like doing, this is what I love to do. So the idea of retiring or, you know, writing a blog had no appeal whatsoever. More importantly, my cooking had changed radically a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I came to the conclusion that instead of thinking about American cooking and then ethnic cooking, which is everybody else's cooking, I kind of realized it was all the same thing. It's just cooking. And so instead of doing some specialty Mexican dish or Moroccan dish or Sichuan dish, I started looking at how different people cook and adapting techniques. So it wasn't the idea of replicating something authentically. It was about, gee, you know, in Sichuan, they throw a chicken in water for a while and poach it, and, you know, it's actually 10 times easier or 5 times better. So I just realized there was a whole different way to think about cooking, and that what I've been doing for a long time was great, but it was limited by what I knew. And a lot of other people around the world who know a lot more than I do about a whole bunch of things. So that's why I'm doing it.
Well, even technically, when you first started off in the business, it has to have been a radical change now with the use of social media and everything that's at everybody's fingertips these days. As you say, just doing another blog would have been boring, but you've seen immense change in the time that you've been in the business.
Well, if you think about cooking, it's really surprising to me that unlike music and fashion, which has gone down this road a long time ago, where they beg, borrow, and steal from influences all over the world. I mean, the world's become a very small place for all the obvious reasons, and the fashion music industries have taken advantage of that. You know, Bob Marley may have done reggae in Jamaica, but there's, you know, 500 reggae bands around the world, all of them which have a different take on it, and the fashion's the same way. So the only area that has not done that yet, started to, is restaurants have, certainly. Supermarkets have, because you can get almost anything now. Or you can buy it online. TV shows have. But if you think about how people cook at home in America and Europe, other places, they're just starting to be able to put different things together. It's just the very beginning of that process. But it's going to happen. I mean, the world has changed totally. So, you know, the idea of fish sauce being this weird thing, it's kind of like soy sauce was strange in the 50s, you know what I mean? It's not weird anymore. And so it's all going to collapse and come together and get, it's going to be a mashup, you know?
Oh, we like a mashup.
And then cooking's going to get a lot more interesting, because instead of doing the same old stuff you did, and no matter where you come from, you have a repertoire, you're going to start branching out and doing lots of different things. The only thing is you need someone to help you with it, because the translation issue there, you have to figure out what to take, what not to take, and how to do it so the recipe actually works. But 5 or 10 years from now, we're going to look back at this point and go, this was sort of a watershed moment for home cooks.
Oh, I have to agree with you. Now, the first time I heard of the whole Milk Street Kitchen launching was actually on Facebook when I saw the magazine. And
yep.
I thought, this is one I've got to have. How's the magazine going?
It'll be out the third week of September. Am I allowed to say it's fabulous? I don't know.
I think you should say it.
It is really good. I mean, this has been the most exciting thing I've ever done. It's really good. My art director's fabulous. I brought in a guy called Joe Disney, who did the Village Voice in the Wall Street Journal and Esquire. He's a top guy. He and I are both old hippies from the 60s. terrific guy. And so the good thing about a magazine is that, you know, I can do interviews and talk about all of this, but when you have to create a magazine, you have to actually really do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just talk about it.
No.
Well, you know, you have a certain number of pages to fill, and you need headlines, you need decks, you need photographs, you need recipes, you need a story. You know, you need captions. You have to actually go put it together, and it's forced us to really think this through.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really clear about what we're doing, and it's very exciting. I think it's the best work we've ever done. It's really good. But, uh-huh. You know, other people will be a judge of that, not me.
You know, I'm looking forward to seeing that first issue. I know you were offering, was it a limited supply of free first issues to a lot of people online?
Yeah, we have, we're going to have over 200,000 people sign up for that by the end of September. Yeah.
Well, that's not very limited. I won't use the word limited then. That's extremely generous of you to do that. How about the TV show? Is this something that you're controlling? You're going to syndicate? Do we know when we can see it?
You'll see it September 2017. It's public television. It's put out by American Public Television, which has done my other shows. Mm-hmm. And WTBH is also there in terms of presenting the show. We're filming the first three episodes in October. And then we're going to take a few months to edit that and figure out what we did right and did wrong. And then we go back in March to finish up the rest of these seasons once we've really had time to think about it. And then the first season will be on public TV in September.
That's something to look forward to. And you mentioned a cooking school, and I can't imagine taking a cooking class with you. It would be a blast. How does someone get into your class?
I just go to our website. Last week, we've already sold out some of the stuff. So my class is doing well. I'm doing pies and tarts.
Mm.
And we have Fuchsia Dunlop, who's a wonderful cook. She lives in London, and she did every grain of rice, and she's got a new book coming out. She's coming to do a session, and that's sold out in about 3 hours.
Wow.
It's also exciting to bring some other people in and have them demonstrate the cooking and talk about their food. So we're going to do that as well.
Mm. Now, if someone can't actually make it to a cooking class, are you going to be taking your act on the road soon?
My act goes on the road starting next week. We have 9 cities. We're doing a live stage show, yeah.
Now, what's that going to be like?
If I could get the Rockettes to come around, I'd come along that list. That's a good idea. I've been doing this for a couple of years. It's different. It's a new show. It's 2 hours. There's a lot of interaction with the audience. We bring them up for tastings and cooking and quizzes and a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of video. There's some science. There's, you know, blooper reels. There's a lot of quizzes. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. So the part I really like about that is we get people up on stage. The entire audience takes the taste test as well.
Wow.
So we get everybody to get involved. It's really fun. The first one I did, I had a director help me, and she told me it's really about me. The audience is interested in me. And after doing the first one, I realized that was actually not true. the audience wants to talk about themselves. I mean, they want to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to involve the audience as much as I can, because I think that's the fun part, is the interaction.
So you play well with others?
Sometimes.
Well, no.
I'm not in my private life, I like peace and quiet, and I like being alone in a cabin on top of the mountain.
Mm.
That's my favorite thing.
Oh, yeah.
But doing these is really fun. I mean, I really got to love doing them, because, you know, you can hear the audience and feel the audience, and it's exciting. Yeah, it's actually, I like it.
Do you have any Florida dates on the tour?
No, but we're about to set up our schedule for next year, so we will definitely come to Florida next year.
I don't think I've asked. Why the name Milk Street Kitchen?
Because we're on Milk Street.
Okay, that was easy.
Well, it was really important for us, you know, having been on Station Street in Brooklyn Village for so long, which was really not accessible to people. I really wanted a real place. You know, when I did the Cook's Country show, mm-hmm. I bought a farmhouse in my town of Vermont and fixed it up for the show. So we actually were in Vermont, you know, in my town. And I thought that was really important to be in a real place. And so for Milk Street, we wanted to be in a real place where people could come and take a class, and, you know, and be a real thing, not just a set or not just an office, but a real place. So that's why we call it Milk Street.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun with this. If someone wants to stay up to date with you, check in with you, get the magazine, cooking classes, how about websites and anything else?
Go to Mill Creek Kitchen. You can sign up. We have newsletters and other things going out all the time, like everybody does these days. I'm also doing a once a month, a Swearing Hill News, which is the notes from my town of Vermont. There's a regular newsletter. There's all sorts of stuff. A Facebook page. We have about 100,000 likes already on that. You can stay with us on Facebook or Twitter. You know, I have a Twitter account, so there's plenty of places to do that. Facebook page or the website, you can sign up and we'll send you stuff.
Well, I've already done that, but we'll make sure that everybody else has the chance to do that. Well, much success with everything that's going on, and I certainly hope you can find some time for us to come down and visit in Florida when we don't have a tropical storm brewing.
Not in August.
No. No one comes down.
February.
That sounds good. Christopher, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.